The rest of you can grab your Bibles. We're going to be in a couple of places in Scripture this morning. We're going to be in 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. And then we're going to be moving to James chapter 1, and eventually we'll make it to Proverbs chapter 14 as well. Praise the Lord. And then finally, we're actually going to end up in 1 Thessalonians. You got all those? You all have perfect memories, I know. So I know that, like I said earlier, I know most of you probably already moved on to dinner. And it's actually a good thing that Sherry shut that door back there a little bit ago, because not all of the odors are wafting in. But when we were getting ready beforehand, when that door was open, man, made it difficult to think about getting started, think about dinner. But as we approach Thanksgiving, so I'm going to keep it fairly short this morning. So as we approach Thanksgiving and then that ensuing downhill sprint to Christmas, which, you know, I think when I looked at the countdown this morning, it's 35 days till Christmas, but we all know it's more like 35 hours once we cross Thanksgiving. And I know at this particular time of year, it's really not all that hard to be thankful, is it? How many of you have a difficult time this time of year being thankful, really, if you're honest? You really don't. We're aware of our blessings. We spend time with family, and there's some poignancy to it. For my family, it's going to be our first Thanksgiving without Dad. And I know there's other families that are actually experiencing that as well this year. And so there'll be some poignancy, but at the same time, even in light of those things, those difficult things and those, missing those loved ones that are no longer with us, it's not difficult to be thankful at this time of year. And so this morning, I'm going to share with you three reasons you should be thankful. And it's what I'm going to say is, I'd like for you to file this away. Okay, consider this a preemptive strike. This is not for right now, because I don't think anyone's having trouble finding reasons to be thankful right now. You know, we sit down and we look at the faces across the table and we enjoy wonderful meals and just have time spending time with family. It's easy to be thankful. It's easy to be thankful. And so today what I'm going to share with you is we look at three reasons to be thankful. Consider this a preemptive strike for what comes later. Because we all know that after Christmas comes February. You know, and it's funny because I can remember as a kid, I wasn't anxious. I was never anxious for winter to be over until about middle of April. I was okay for winter to be over then. I actually liked winter. But the older I get, the sooner I wish winter ended. In fact, you know, my buddy Donovan the other day looked at me and he says, "Is it too early to wish winter was over?" just a little. But, and so after Christmas comes February, and sometimes I'll be honest, I struggle being thankful so much in February because it can be depressing. You're just, you know, you're getting tired of the cold, and particularly when there's snow's not covering ground, when it's just cold and ugly. You know, it's just when you're looking at brown grass in the yard, and that's the time when you want to pull these reasons to be thankful out. So here we go. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we're going to begin to read in verse 28, and we're going to read through the 34th verse. "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, bring an offering and come before Him, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Reason number one to be thankful is simply this: God is good. God is good. God is good. You know, and it's easy to say that when life's kind of going the way we want. You know, and things are sort of rolling along, and there's not too many obstacles in our path, and things are going well. It's far more difficult to make that statement with conviction that God is good when things aren't going the way we want to. We're all very aware of what happened in Texas just a few short days ago, when if I remember correctly, there was one gentleman who lost 8 members of his family in the short span of a few minutes. Can you imagine what happens in a man's heart when he loses his wife, and I think children and grandchildren, both? Could you say in a situation like that, God is good, and I have reason to be thankful? And according to Chronicles, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." God is good. Truth is that we can be thankful for God's goodness even when the world isn't reflecting that goodness to us. And that sometimes is the rub. That's the problem that we all struggle with, is that we're expecting the world to reflect God's goodness to us. And when it doesn't happen, then we kind of start struggling. But the reality is that God is good. It's not reliant upon whether or not the things around us are going well. God is simply good. And because God is unchanging, we can be sure of His goodness. That 34th verse says, "For His steadfast love endures forever." Reason number one to be thankful is simply that God is good. We serve a good God. It's something that helped to carry me through that long struggle with my dad's last 10 months or 12 of life, 10 months closer to. I still remember Nolan and I were at the hospital room with him after he'd had the heart attack in August, it was scary looking, you know, the machines everywhere and all that sort of thing. And Nolan and I were going to head back, I think, to get some rest at the house. And before we left, we prayed with Dad. And it really struck me the way my brother started his prayer. He said, "God, you're good. You are good. In everything. And all the time, you are good." We can be thankful, and you can always be thankful, no matter what is going on around you, because God is good. Reason number two to be thankful, because it keeps and protects your heart. I don't know if you've given much thought to this, but thankfulness is protection for the heart. Thankfulness is protection for the heart. James chapter 1 verse 17 makes this simple statement: "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." We'll hang on to that scripture for just a minute. Dawson, I don't know how many of you have ever heard Dawson McAllister. Does that name sound familiar to anyone? He runs a service. He started out a number of years ago. It's been a long time. I think it was in the 70s or 80s. He started a call-in radio show for young people. And I think it was like Hope Line or something like that. And that eventually morphed into call centers and just places for young people to be able to call in when they're going through struggle. It's really a crisis line for young people. And they call it the Hope Line. And they talk to thousands upon thousands of young people every year and help them out during difficult times. Dawson McAllister makes this statement, and this is one of the things that he founded the Hope Line on. He says this, he says that truth will guard your heart. He says, "Fill your heart with truth and cling to that truth when the world tries to tell you lies. And this is the truth that you fill your heart with. This is what Dawson says. That there is always something you can be thankful for. Your heart will be protected from the trap of overwhelming bitterness that leads to despair and hopelessness if you simply will believe that there is always something to be thankful for. And it goes back to that verse in Scripture. Every good gift, every perfect gift, being thankful actually can guard your heart. Did you know that thankfulness is the arch enemy of envy and discontent? I like the way Elizabeth Elliot puts it this way. She said, discontent dries up the soul. It's difficult to be discontent when you're thankful. Really thankful. The flip side of that, it's really hard to be thankful when you're discontented. I think it's one of Mike's favorite things to say. You know, he's plenty happy with his television until he goes to Costco or Sam's, right? You know, I think mine's plenty big, and then you go, well, wait a minute, that one covers the entire wall. I think I could stand on the other side of the road and still be able to tell what's on television. Or that one's so clear, and mine just looks fuzzy after I look at that. You know, a couple weeks ago, we lost one of our vehicles to an unfortunate accident. The blessing part was that God protected Matthew when a truck ran a red light and hit him. But we lost a vehicle, and but another blessing came along. We got a loaner car. And then we discovered what a really nice car is like. You know, you got in the thing. You know, when you turn, every time you turn it on, if you set it that way, the heated seats turn on. So you could, from your house during February when you hate winter, hit that remote start, and by the time you walk out, your seat's warm. I mean, wow. It seemed to do everything, but when you get in, say, here's your cup of coffee, Mr. Sanders. Yeah. We found out what a nice car is. In fact, the other day we ended up with a replacement car that was it's actually very nice. You've probably seen it out here. It's that red Taurus. It's nice. We're really enjoying it. They had to do some work, do some things for us as a part of the purchase agreement. So I drove it back to Fenton where we bought it. And I drove that nice Taurus up there, and they gave me a loaner car. And they gave me a Fiesta. So I went from a Taurus. And when I walked out, the guy looked at me and says, sorry, but this is not as nice as what you drove up here. You know, the reality is there was a time when I would have gotten in that Fiesta and I'd have been perfectly happy. But that was before I rode in that 2017 Black Dodge Charger or the Taurus, even the Taurus that we purchased to replace the Freestyle. Discontent and thankfulness don't coexist very well. When you have a thankful heart, it will guard your heart from discontent, literally, that will dry up, literally, that dries up your soul. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Do you ever notice that if you can just keep your eyes on the blessings that you have, how much happier you are? There's actually studies that prove that people who are thankful for what they have less anxiety. There's less anxiety in their life. There's less fear in their life. They're just generally happy. Not because they have more stuff, but just because they're thankful for what they have. You see, thankfulness will actually guard and protect your heart. There are good gifts in everyone's life, no matter what your earthly circumstance is. The reality is this, that even those, and there are some people in our world that are living in difficult circumstances. I mean, we, frankly, we don't have a proper frame of reference to understand what a difficult life is. Because for the most part, most of our difficulties here are fairly surface. I'm not saying we don't experience tragedy and trial, because we do. But for the most part, most of our lives here are fairly easy in comparison with what some people. I mean, how many of us have really ever wondered whether or not we would eat that day? And not because whether or not, it's not whether or not we would eat that day because we're trying to lose weight. It would be simply whether or not there would be food to eat. And yet, there are countless millions of people that every single day, that is life for them. And many live, they live in the shadow of never knowing if someone is going to try to harm them that day. And so, the reality is this, even those people, no, we don't have a true frame of reference to understand it, but even someone in that most difficult circumstance, they have something to be thankful for, simply because, like we said before, God is good. And God loves us. The love of God and His mercy and grace are gifts that we can always be thankful for. So reason number two to be thankful, it'll guard your heart. It'll guard your heart. Finally, reason number three, we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And here's the kicker, and here's the reason. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What does God want from you? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. In everything gives thanks. Jesus in chapter 10, verse 10 said this. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I am come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. God's will is for you and I to have an abundant life, a life that is not lacking. No matter what our earthly circumstance is, it's that we have a life that is not lacking. He desires us for us to have an abundant life. It's God's will for you to be thankful. Sometimes the difficulty that we struggle with here, particularly when we think about an abundant life, most people, when they hear the word abundant, we tend to tie it to some sort of financial blessing. I have an abundance. Or maybe it's simply an abundance of physical blessings. Good health. I have an abundance. When I say an abundant, most people would say, well, I don't have an abundant. You're not having an abundant life if you're sick. The reality is this, is that Jesus, when Jesus spoke of an abundant life, it didn't have anything to do with anything physical. It wasn't how much money was in the bank account or even how good our health was or how easy our life was. The abundant life He was talking about was a life that was filled with things that truly matter, eternal things. An abundant life is one that is filled with things and accomplishments that have eternal value. Thankfulness is the foundation for that abundant life. It's difficult to have an abundant life with a heart that is not filled with thankfulness. You can think of thankfulness as fertile soil for your life. Cicero actually said this, gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. I think that a heart that fails to recognize the things that God has done usually fails to grasp what God can do. I don't know if you've ever given thought to that, that when we fail to be thankful, we actually stunt our faith. We stunt our faith. Because when we don't have an attitude of gratitude or a thankful attitude, we actually will struggle then in the area of faith. Think about it. if you're not thankful to God, why? Because he has never done anything for me. It's a struggle to believe that God can or will do something for us. Thankfulness is fertile soil. That's why it's God's will for you, that he understands that thankfulness founds the foundation for all the other things to grow upon. Thankfulness is the foundation for faith. So that's why it's important for us to be thankful. That's why it's God's will for us to be thankful. Stand with me this morning. So reason number one, simply this: God is good. Even in February, God is good. Reason number two, it'll protect your heart. It'll protect your heart. Thankfulness is like Scotch Guard for your heart. Life's difficulties start rolling off. When your heart is truly thankful, it's difficult for life to get you down when you're thankful, when you have gratitude in your heart. And thirdly, it's simply what God desires for you. Thankfulness is the way he wants us to live. You bow your heads with me.